Severe storms like Sandy, deadly heat waves, relentless drought, rising seas. Is this the new normal? Is this the weather of the future? Climate Central is an independent nonprofit journalism and research foundation founded in 2008 and reviewed by scientists at major educational and research institutions the world over. Andrew Friedman is a senior science writer for Climate Central, focusing on coverage of extreme weather and climate change, and has been extensively covering this storm. Prior to working with Climate Central, Friedman was a reporter for Congressional Quarterly and Greenwire, E&E Daily. His work has also appeared in the Washington Post and online at the Weather Channel. Andrew, good morning. Thank you very much for being with us. Good to have you aboard. Give us a sense of this storm. Your coverage began several days ago, and specifically when it comes to the goals of Climate Central and the coverage of the storm, what is your goal?
Yeah, so the storm is just absolutely a little bit mind-boggling in terms of its size, scope, and intensity at the moment. So we've been covering it, you know, for several days now. Early on, we started covering the computer model indications that this could evolve into some type of superstorm, if you will. And we're trying to give people answers to the question that people are asking increasingly these days, which is, you know, are these types of storms acts still just acts of God or acts of Mother Nature, or are they influenced in some way, shape, or form by man-made climate change?
How much of it is a guess at this point, and how much of it is known and is fact?
For this particular storm, I mean, the relationship to climate change is largely speculative, but there are some absolute knowns about how climate change is altering the composition of the atmosphere and of the amount of water that's available to go into storms and the amount of energy that's available to go into storms. In terms of the weather forecast itself, the forecasts have been remarkably accurate in terms of where this storm is headed and what the impacts will be.
And why is that? We have more information, we're doing more. Why do we have such detailed information that we perhaps have not had in the past?
Well, we do have better infrastructure. We have better weather infrastructure. I mean, we have, you know, satellites sending down data. We have computer modeling that is getting better every year. Although if you talk to weather scientists, they'll tell you that budget cuts are not helping in that realm, especially in the U.S. But I think that just as we saw with Hurricane Irene, once computer models get a good handle on the broad-scale weather pattern across the Northern Hemisphere, they can really pinpoint the hurricane track with remarkable accuracy. Hurricane intensity and the intensity changes is a much bigger challenge that they haven't really made much progress on yet. They're doing research on it, and that's part of the reason why they fly into these storms, why they risk lives to fly into them to gather data from the inside.
I just heard that there's a problem with our satellite system and that we've lost a couple, and therefore our predictive ability is not as good. Is that right?
Well, you are correct in that there's a problem. What's happened is that there were a lot of cost overruns and program delays in designing the next generation of polar orbiting satellites. So these are satellites that orbit going from basically the North Pole all the way down to the South Pole and back around. And they take images, of different paths of the surface as they do so. And these satellites have very specialized instruments that collect data that is then fed into computer models. So about, 80 to 85% of the computer model input is coming from these satellites. And because there were delays in figuring out the next generation of these satellites, we're looking at a gap that hasn't started yet, but that is anticipated to start somewhere around 2017 and last for at least a year and a half. So what that'll mean is not that we have no satellites up there, but what it'll mean is instead of two, one orbiting in the morning, one orbiting in the afternoon, we're only going to have one. So a lot of weather forecasters are trying to figure out exactly how much this is going to impact their forecasts, and it's most likely going to impact forecasts in the medium to long range, which is really consequential if you think about it, because for this particular storm, you know, we started getting warnings and hype about this storm on Monday or Tuesday of last week.
Right.
And that's partly because of the data that was going into the models at the time.
I know this is a question that you as an organization answer a lot, but I just want you to answer it again so we do have a bit of a baseline, and that is the relationship between weather and climate.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, there's a difference between short-term weather and longer-term climate, but increasingly what we are seeing is that man-made climate change as well as natural climate variability are helping to kind of combine forces to make certain weather events, certain extreme events, more likely. Mainly that has, we have a lot of evidence that that's happening with heat waves around the the world. Increasing evidence that that's starting to happen with droughts in certain areas of the world. The hurricane question is an interesting one, because a lot of the studies that have been done show that in the future, warmer atmosphere and warmer seas may create stronger sort of supercharged hurricanes that carry more water with them and stronger winds, but that we, for a variety of reasons, may see fewer in number per season in the North Atlantic. So that's an area of very active research. But what I try to get across to people is that, you know, climate change is increasingly being felt in our weather. It is increasingly it's becoming difficult to separate certain extreme events from the longer-term climate context. And I would never claim that this particular storm is because of climate change, or that this particular storm, you know, was necessarily put here by climate change. But there's some really fascinating research on how losing Arctic sea ice, for example, changes weather patterns. And there's some of that research suggests that the weather pattern that we have right now, which is steering Sandy into New Jersey and New York and other states, may have resulted from the record loss of sea ice that we saw over the past year. And that's still under investigation, but it's an intriguing line of research that that we're following closely.
Because it seems like we have these rules of thumb of things that we always think of, and certainly there is lots of information to go against them, and there are examples that prove the opposite. But in a generic rule of thumb, the Northeast doesn't usually have to worry about severe hurricanes. And here we are worrying about a severe hurricane for the second time in as many years. So it does come to be an obvious question of, A, are rules of thumb pretty much, are they wiped out at this point? And are we in a new normal?
To some degree, talking a little bit more broadly about extreme events, we are in a new normal. And the reference point that even engineers use when they design a bridge or a dam, they look at the 100-year flood event, for example.
Right.
And the 100-year benchmark is changing because those events are happening more frequently, and when they do occur, they're happening more with more severity. In terms of the Northeast with hurricanes, yes, it's pretty striking that you had the first shutdown of the New York City subway last year and the second one this year. And I think, though, that there's very little evidence that there's been trends in landfalling storms in the U.S. in both their number and the strength of them and their location. So I would argue that it's a bit of a fluke that the Northeast is being affected by this 2 years in a row. But there are some factors to look at, one being the broader pattern that I just talked about, and the other one being the fact that sea surface temperatures off the Atlantic coast were at record highs throughout this summer. And that's due both to natural climate variability, but there may also be an impact of man-made climate change in there that is leading to that.
Andrew Friedman is a senior science writer for Climate Central. You can find out more information about their work and great coverage of Sandy at climatecentral.org, climatecentral.org. Andrew Friedman, I thank you very much for taking the time out and joining us live this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Coming up next, we'll continue on this subject and talk more about the climate and the weather with 350.org's Bill McKibben. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.